Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kington here with Jim Cramer. David Faber's back at post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Futures steady, coming off the 13th record close for the S&P this year and the best week since mid-January. Packed schedule this week, PCE deflator, Fed speak, earnings in retail and software. Our roadmap begins with stocks and this AI-fueled rally. NVIDIA shares climbing once again ahead of the open, while Apollo calls the current AI bubble bigger than the 90s tech bubble.
Plus, we're on inflation watch. As you just heard Carl say, investors are waiting, awaiting key economic data this week. Potential big implications, of course, for rate policy. And Berkshire's cash pile hit a new record. Warren Buffett warning that the days of, quote, eye-popping gains, though, are over.
Let's begin, though, with NVIDIA extending that rally after reporting that blowout quarter last week, hitting a $2 trillion valuation during much of Friday's session. Jim, we were just talking off camera. Perfect timing for you to go into your investing club annual meeting over the weekend.
Thank you. A lot of people own NVIDIA. It's been our own don't trade position, and it's worked well. I think there's still a lot of skepticism about NVIDIA because I call it the nouveau riche stock. People just can't believe that it had this kind of level of revenue growth. That people think that maybe too many companies overordered. David, I have yet to find anyone who has said, you know what, I have too many of their cards, including Meta, which is a used buyer. And I think one of the reasons is because there's 20-to-1 improvement in return on investment versus current. And two, really important, they run cooler. So what happens is that, as Jensen would say, look, it's just a replacement. We're replacing the entire system, but it's replacement.
Right. But that goes to cost as well in the data center.
Yes.
Because if you do run somewhat cooler, you consume less electricity, at least. And the buyer here is trying to figure out the overall cost.
Yes.
It's not just, all right, I know I get better compute power, even if there is a competing chip at some point from AMD.
Right.
It's the overall. So does it cost, you know, is it deliver more? Does it run at perhaps a more energy efficient level? I don't know. I'm just saying, Jim, that it's just saying at some point there are going to be competitors, because you have to consider the overall value proposition for the buyer.
Right, and I think that one of the things that is mystifying to people is that you keep finding new customers. Yeah. I mean, one of the things.
Well, he was. I mean, last time we saw Jensen, he was in the Mideast.
Right.
All these sovereigns potentially now are going to be buyers of the chips as well, as they develop their own AI policies.
Right. And if we don't, we're a cultural usurper, Carl. People just say, well, this cannot be an American or English product. Each country has to have its own. Now, they just can't nearly produce enough for each country. And when Amazon Web Services buys it, they use it for themselves and they use it for cloud. That's a fairly typical situation. At the same time, ServiceNow keeps coming up as an integrator of their product. Again, there was a good piece out this weekend that they thought was good. They're not promotional, but they do a lot of explaining about why this is occurring.
Meantime, Cathie Wood, for example, defending her taking some profits on the name, even though she says in a tweet that she was getting in at five.
Well, look, I think that her decision to sell things or buy things is often good, but I was in front of a group of people this weekend who were right in front of, you know, I was in front of them, and David, when you make a mistake or when you sell something too soon, you're not defending or liking how you did. You're regarding yourself as being.
That's like the audience for The Price is Right. They're so enthusiastic.
Well, there you go. Right. Yeah. And I did. You know,
did they play that music?
No, but this was brought to you by La Choy East Meets West Chinese Food. But there is a sense
what?
When you... That's what LaCroix makes Chinese food. Don't you remember that?
Yes.
But I just say that there's a bit of humility that comes from meeting people, which would make you mortified if you do what Kathy Wood does. And it's... There's a humbling nature of getting things wrong that... but look, not everyone has to be humble, okay? Humility is what I regard as a positive trait, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be.
No, it doesn't.
It's how you were brought up.
But listen, right. Meanwhile, why not, if you have a 150-fold gain, you may want to take some profits. That said, to come back to NVIDIA now, and just in this very moment, given what we know, at least, and what we expect in terms of where we are and the evolution of this new wave.
Right.
I mean, you look at the earnings estimates and what people expect this company. I'm looking at a Goldman report.
Up 200 and something.
But I mean, Goldman has them earning $62 billion next year. Net, that's pre-exceptionals, is what, as they call it, to $73 billion in 26. I mean, back into a multiple, you're talking, what, 20, 28 times?
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the best work on that is done by this guy, Ben Reitzes at Melius. I mean, there's a possibility you're saying that it's at 25 times earnings.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, Carl, 25 times earnings, that's darn inexpensive versus its growth. But look, no one wants to say this thing's going to last forever. And I think that Lisa Su is going to encroach eventually if she gets more more teaching software. He talked about 40% as being inference, but you know people don't want to go over what he says. I don't know why, because you know the call is run by Colette Kress, who's fantastic CFO. But then he comes in and he answers questions. What we'll find when we go to this incredible conference that he talks about, you'll understand why you can get those kinds of numbers and why it may not be as ephemeral. And so therefore worthy of it. Again, like if you have it at five and you want to take a profit, that's fine.
It's fine, but you believe we're at the early stages of obviously an AI revolution,
right,
to lack of a better term.
I like that.
In the same way that the internet was, or that the move to mobile or cloud was, at least to a perhaps lesser extent.
Right.
This is still the name, Jim.
Yeah, look, I think that there are a lot of companies that are piggybacking off of it too.
Yeah.
ARM,
there are plenty. And it doesn't appear at this point yet that you can buy companies that are benefiting from the end product in a real way.
No, I mean,
right?
It's just,
I mean,
super
the use
micro,
of generative AI in the workplace by the enterprise. It's very, very
but
early
how
days.
How often do you go to Copilot and get things?
I don't use it.
You ought to try it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just haven't incorporated any of these things in my, but I'm not a early adopter.
Well,
so.
I'll tell you how it works. I mean, for instance, I have Huntington Bank shares on today, and I read all that I could find in go over all the conference call. And I'm looking for commercial real estate issues, because that's what Barry Sternlicht alerted to us, is in kind of the black hole of the economy. And I just do a commercial real estate, a Huntington, and it comes up with two reference points, and one of them that I guess I glossed over. So I think it's very good as a check to your homework.
Mm-hmm. AI.
Do. AI, yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about it in the framework of media, given what Blackwell's saying about Disney, what Tyler Perry said about AI and his studio expansion on Friday, Jim. Jobs will be lost, I think, is the quote.
He's not spending what was anticipated in Atlanta to expand. Because he doesn't have to, right?
After getting a look at some of the capabilities.
But I would tell you, Jesse Mom would say, look, if these people are really good, they've got more time to do what matters and less time to do what's proofing. I mean, look, I did not go over the CRE, the commercial real estate of Huntington Bank shares, because I had it from Copilot, mm-hmm, which I regard as being a very good product.
And is that work that a producer would have done for you prior?
No, I don't do this. I look at it. I mean, I have a memo, Bob. I do the work.
So it's not replacing jobs, is Carl's question.
No, but we're better. I mean, I have Ben Stowe to look at it, and I will look at it, and I don't want to ask Mr. Steinhauer stuff that I don't know, because then they won't come back on. CEOs won't come back on if you waste their time.
I need to, when I can just talk to it real quickly and...
Oh, well, that's going to happen.
That's
it's
happen,
already
right?
happening. Yeah, Jensen would tell you there's just a lot of people who just talk to the computer. That's a large language model. But remember, we had McDonald's.
Yeah, and they texted you during the show on Friday?
Yeah, texted us during the show. They've got 100, they're doing 100 McDonald's. They're testing where it's just you're speaking to AI and speaks in 27 languages. The idea that Jensen liked was, isn't it great that you would know if you were someone who didn't speak English well, that you could go to one of these fast foods and not be intimidated and being speaking with someone who actually speaks your language? Another thing that Jensen constantly points out is that you don't have to get it right. You can ask and stuff and not really be as coherent. That's a little more critical than he is. But I just think that we're all waiting for this. But some people like Mark Zuckerberg have so figured this thing out. Ooh, he's really figured it out.
Well, as we broaden the discussion a bit, maybe those are good questions for the companies that report this week, like Dell or an HP or an HPE.
Dell is really, HP's been featured, but Dell very much so featured. And I think that that's precisely what you keep expecting is your PC. Now, I don't think that HP has been as good a spokesman as it could be versus me about what your PC could do. But I believe this big PC refresh, which makes me want to own Best Buy, which reports this week. That would be.
Look at the performance of Dell, though, for a minute. Just take that in. Michael Dell, quietly one of the world's wealthiest people, by the way.
By the way, birthday boy last
week. One of the smartest.
Really? I'll say something really great about him periodically.
His brother
will text me and says, nice.
He doesn't watch necessarily.
Michael Dell is not
sitting
here.
He's busy.
I say he's not listening to us. No. He's kind of like my wife.
You can't take offense at
my
that,
my wife
Jim.
Said, hey, you still like that guy Jensen?
Not everybody watches. At least not at every moment.
Well, or as Lisa would say, you don't think I do anything? You think I just sit there and watch TV? Is that what you think I am? A housewife who watches TV? No, I'm like working. Not that a housewife isn't working. Just that she's saying that I am insulting her by saying, what do you think of the 9? Which she also hates. But the 9, why don't you just call it a 9 o'clock show? Is it so, like, who do you think you are?
Why you
the
take
9?
Offense. Nobody in my family ever watched. Well, that's not
that
my
you?
Mother.
Watched. Your dog?
Maybe Scoop watches.
Belle, his ma, always emails me whenever I say something nice about how much I love him and how much I missed you last week.
Yes, I missed you guys too.
Just kidding.
I missed you both.
Did you?
Now, yeah, I did, sure.
You were
off in the mornings.
I was actually at a conference Thursday and Friday, saw Michael Dell speak.
You did?
Yep, he's quite positive,
how was
as
he?
You might imagine.
Did he mention NVIDIA?
He was excellent. Not in so many words. No, he didn't. I don't remember him talking about that. Of course, you got to remember, Michael Dell has an entire other business that BDT, MSD Capital, run by Byron Trott and Greg Lemkow, that's, you know, advising and growing
their sort of
huge business as well. So Dell's got his feet in so many different areas. Obviously,
who else spoke at your conference?
There were many people at the conference.
Oh, there you go.
Barry Sternlicht, I got to listen to for a bit.
Commercial real estate.
Yes, he was, as you might imagine.
Did it drop in value while he was there?
He was not overly positive on the future in some certain areas. He didn't talk about SPACs.
He didn't?
No, or Cano. Remember? Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah. Cano.
Cano, C-A-N-O. It went bankrupt, yeah.
No.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I know.
A couple weeks ago.
You had to bring that up. Couldn't you just be joyous?
Isn't Carl's haircut, like, perfect? Look at that.
It is perfect.
Oh, my.
I mean, I'm looking at him today.
I'm going by the strong body.
I wasn't
going to
say anything, but
maybe
it's
that I haven't seen him in a week.
I'm overweight his haircut.
Look at that. He looks fat.
You only get one shot because I'm off the rest of the week doing my own shooting.
Oh, no, yes, because I was going to make you a tactical buy.
He's a buy today. He's a hard buy today.
David's right. It's a busy week for conferences again this week.
And UBS Evidence Lab, what they've been saying about your hair.
Jamie Dimon, we're going to have on the half.
Is that Leslie?
That's Leslie, yes.
Oh,
looking
man,
forward to that.
Be so good.
We'll talk about that. We'll also get to Berkshire today, the messages that Buffett sent in his letter to shareholders over the weekend. And as Jim said, a lot of earnings to get to over the coming days, including CRM, Lowe's, TJX, Best Buy, Hormel, Autodesk, Zscaler, and more. Futures hanging in there as we're coming off of record closes. Don't go anywhere.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway up in the pre-market. The conglomerate reporting a 28% jump in Q4 Opera Net, helped in part by strength in insurance. Cash holdings expand to a record high, surpassing $167 billion. In his annual letter, Buffett says, quote, there remain only a handful of companies in this country capable of truly moving the needle at Berkshire, and they have been endlessly picked over by us and by others. Outside the U.S., there are essentially no candidates that are meaningful options for capital deployment at Berkshire. Jim also kind of rules out the idea of buying all of Oxy.
Right. Boy, those Japanese buys were sensational over time.
Amazing.
He was so early on that. Amazing. You got to credit him for that.
You
wow.
totally have to. Like only in 2020, he started buying these trading
businesses. It was amazing.
They had, what, $23, $24 billion. I made $8 billion in profit, far exceeding, obviously, the S&P.
Right.
There's only one Buffett.
That's absolutely right. But there's several railroads.
Yes.
And his discussion of BNSF, Burlington Northern, was very downbeat. He really just basically said this has been not a great, called an acceptable return. But I thought it was interesting. He didn't like the numbers, so I went over the numbers of others. The operating revenue of Burlington Northern was -6.1. The operating revenue of CSX was -1.3, Union Pacific -3.0, Canadian Pacific +42, but that's not a good compare because they made that acquisition. Net earnings -14, the net earnings of CSX -10, net earnings of Union Pacific -8. I could throw in Norfolk Southern, they had the Palestine issue, but their adjusted earnings, their net earnings was -44. But as among CSX and Union Pacific, can't really do Canadian Pacific, but I will tell you it will be. His was the most disappointing. So I completely understand why he is not all that in favor. People don't talk about that. It's not mentioned. But Burlington Northern's net earnings were off very much versus the others. And Union Pacific, with the new CEO, seems like it's, on a short-term basis, better run.
Although all-time highs for Berkshire, doubling the S&P gain this year.
Absolutely. But I think that one of the things that if you look at, the CPI, you'll see that auto insurance is perhaps maybe one of the most out of control things that you have. And GEICO is auto insurance. So that doesn't mean you don't have to asterisk and saying, hey, listen, our prices went up. But you can say, look, that prices went up and they stuck.
Right. What do you do with $167 billion in cash?
Let's ask Jensen, because he could be. Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
No, but I mean, what if you're Buffett and you have typically deployed it? And, I mean, he's been waiting and waiting and waiting. He's not done a large deal. Burlington obviously is one. I can remember Precision Castparts. You can go back, but it's a long time since he deployed a significant amount of cash.
Right, but I think that we're thinking about him way too, if you wanted to. There are so many companies that actually are now 80, 90 billion that you might think might be worth it.
Yeah.
David, you were recently quoted in the Disney letter. I mean, let's think. If he were to buy Disney and amalgamate things at 197, but you could always borrow some money.
He could. I don't know that Warren is interested in any way, shape, or form in trying to take Disney private, but it's an idea.
Oh,
sure,
suddenly
Jim.
That matters. Okay.
Sure.
No, he hasn't particularly liked Paramount. That's why I wanted to get to
Carl,
Paramount.
Carl, before we can get to it, but the key question, of course, is he says that his successor is ready to go, right? Buffett.
Right.
Greg Abel.
And also kind of a shout out to Munger. About
that was great.
His push to back off of sticking to Ben Graham. Full
absolutely.
Bore from the
no,
very beginning.
I mean, it's always the letter's great. I only put out the Burlington Northern BNSF because he was so negative. I wasn't prepared. And the big focus is buying back Coca-Cola. He's happy with that return, which right. is meager versus some others.
I know.
But Amex did not. Amex had a great report.
Conferencing this week.
Yes,
we'll get a little bit more on Disney, as David mentions, some incremental news regarding that proxy battle. And we're going to get Paramount results later in the week. Kramer's Mad Dash and the opening bell coming up in 10 minutes.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists put people at the heart of everything they create. like Olu Sheyi, a Comcast engineer who grew up bonding with his dad over sports. This inspired him and his team to create AI Highlights technology that uses AI and machine learning to detect the major plays in a sporting event. So millions of fans have a way of catching up on their favorite sports. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com.
All right, first mad dash of the week. Of course, as we have 6 minutes before we get started with the first trading day of the week, you want to talk a little Salesforce?
Yeah, sure. Salesforce has got two upgrades ahead of the quarter. And the problem with that is the 28th. The reason why I fear, I mean, not two upgrades, two price target bumps, which is kind of like an upgrade in the sense that, wow, you know what, this is going to do better than expected. Now, David, my problem with that is that now it sets up a quarter that is going to be difficult, given the fact that the bar's been raised. But they are a big user of AI, of Jensen, and what they use it for are queries. Now, queries is basically the reference part, the inference part, okay? I should say inference. 40% of their business at NVIDIA is, can you infer? So I ask you a question, and they're asked trillions of questions, which would say, what would make it so that you would buy more Ducatis? That's a good customer. And the answer will come very quickly. And if you speak to it, you don't have to do a query. You don't have to go to a data scientist. So the head of Ducati can ask the question. The head of Brunello Cucinelli could ask the question. I think they understand in Italian. So what happens is that you get the answer very quickly about what would make it so they would, or what color would they, or what sales pitch. And that's what Salesforce is doing. That's how they use AI. And I think it's pretty impressive.
So they're one of the companies that will show meaningful, you think, improvement in their overall metrics as a result of the use of
Absolutely.
Generative AI?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's going to be the theme
for their customer
conference
base.
Call. Yeah. Now, it is interesting that they're not mentioned. It's always been ServiceNow that's mentioned. And yet, I think that these guys are using it very well because Einstein, which is their artificial intelligence, in a lot of ways is powered by this kind of chip. So I just say that it's bar is high, but it'll be the first company not really pushed by NVIDIA to talk about NVIDIA.
All right. We'll keep an eye on Salesforce shares, of course, and the broader market as well. Opening bell is just 4 minutes away. And by the way, don't forget, you can catch us anytime and anywhere. Please listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
Nat gas prices looking to rebound after testing new 3.5-year lows last week. Adjusted for inflation, Nat gas futures recently hit their lowest price since trading began on the NYMEX back in 1990. Jim, big piece in the journal over the weekend looking put options 50 cents.
Well, look, there's no doubt about it that the big oil and gas companies are just now beginning to cut back on their natural gas production. I saw Coterra last week, which is a big holding for my charitable trust. They can switch, or what do they? That's a combination of Cimarex and Capital and Gas, and they're shifting more, as many others will if they can. Apache really can't. They have a lot of natural gas, been a terrible performer. Carl, it's asterisks in the consumer price index, but it is a very important part of the mosaic of what people spend in their lives.
Between that, even with a little bounce here in gasoline last few weeks, Nat gas has definitely got a lot of attention.
Right, and it should. I mean, by the way, Nat gas reverberates throughout the entire system. It's the fuel for industry. It's the fuel for plastic. It does not get the recognition, in part because it's really kind of a PPI thing. We're surprised. But David, when you see these oil and gas companies, aren't you reminded that there's been so much acquisition, but really they're very heavily weighted toward oil and not natural gas?
Yeah, well, particularly the deals that we're seeing, the big ones that are taking place in the Permian,
right,
are not about nat gas, they're about oil.
How much did people love that FANG acquisition, the Diamondback, where apparently that company's very, very good? Very,
yeah, private interesting
company.
Backstory, too, there,
yes,
with the founder.
Oh, you have it?
No, I mean, I read about it.
Oh, yeah, because yeah. Travis Sice, the CEO of Diamondback, is he and Scott Sheffield are the two people that I keep hearing over and over again are the best. I think Tom Jordan at Coterra deserves a shout out. But David, you were down in Latin America, where there seems to be just a black hole about can you drill, can you not drill, what Exxon can do down there. I don't get it.
You're talking about Guyana?
Yeah.
Well, they're drilling.
I know, I mean, but
they've got it all drilled.
What is it with Venezuela?
I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen there. There doesn't seem to be as much fear, perhaps, on the part of Mike Wirth or Darren Woods that the Venezuelans are going to actually get aggressive with the Guyanese, but we'll see.
Well, I think it's worth watching, Carl, because Venezuela is not among the Council of Nations yet. If it ever did, they've got the most oil in the world.
They do.
Jim, it's 4 points to 5,100 here. This is coming at a time where the number of projected rate cuts has been peeled off.
Yes.
It was seasonally supposed to be the worst couple weeks of the year.
Yes.
And here we are at all-time highs.
All the seasonal stuff has really been just completely, I don't want to say worthless, but wow, it hasn't worked. And the three cuts is now prevailing wisdom. I'm not even sure if that's the case because the economy is so strong. I just think that what keeps happening is you'll have something like Domino's, okay? Domino's is a very household name. And Russell Wiener took it over a couple years ago.
He's going to be on this afternoon, I think, right?
Yeah, and he's sensational, by the way. Sold hot dogs at Yankee Stadium. People should ask about that. But he gave long-term guidance today of 7% annual global retail, 1,100 annual global net store growth, 8% annual income for operations growth till 2028. And I read that, and I just say, well, there's one. I got to own that one. I mean, how can I not own Domino's? And they do a big buyback, increase in the dividend. This is what keeps happening. The Domino's is my prevailing theme so far for this year, which just when you think that you're done with greatness, something new comes along.
How about this big piece of AP story this morning about consumers pushing back on prices, and it's actually working? That's the opposite of what happened in the 70s, where kind of people threw up their hands.
That was a great tweet by you between 5 and 6. And what I felt was, it's very contrary to what I spoke about this weekend, where I looked at something like Live Nation. Michael Rapino, who's such a great CEO, talking about how he can raise prices with impunity, because what happens is he puts prices out for a concert. This is Ticketmaster. The scalpers all buy them, and then they mark them up. And he says there's no resistance. David, there seems to be no resistance to a lot of different price increases. So I don't know. I'm going to balance what Carl will say with what some of the conference calls are saying.
Well, this goes back to the consolidation and the question as to whether the Ticketmaster deal ever should have been allowed, right?
Well, I think it's more of a question.
They kind of have a monopoly, don't they?
Well, yeah, but no, I use SeatGeek. I use other sites.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wait, don't they own? What do they own? All right, I'm going to check.
But I'm just saying that Taylor Swift, could charge, I don't know, $1,500 a ticket and get it instead of like $1,000 ticket and have it be marked up by $500.
Yeah.
But that's inflationary. They're at the heart of inflation, but they're not. Why? You know, they have one word. You know how plastics? Amphitheaters. Amphitheaters are where you go. And some guy, like Usher, doesn't want to be in an amphitheater. Usher doesn't, therefore, get the most money he could. It was such a great conference call. Rapino's so smart.
It's really smart. He's been running the company for quite some time.
Julian Borst, an excellent interview last week.
Yeah.
Good shout out.
We're going to watch auto prices too, Jim. Big piece in Ward's with the CEO of Jeep that they are going to cut prices of the Cherokee and the Wagoneer because sales last year were down 6 from 22.
Well, that will certainly help Ernie Garcia, who had an amazing quarter at Carvana, who told me, look, unless you get a glut of new, you will not see used come down. And by the way, once again, it's auto insurance, David, has to be factored in because that's been the bogey that has really hurt a lot of everyone has to have insurance. You don't, like, go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to risk it. You have to have it. We need some more competition.
Do you remember when Apollo did that convert or something?
That was a great price.
Wow.
But Garcia's made, well, you know, he's making a lot of money
per
car.
About the potential of being a bankruptcy here. It's like,
oh, no,
it was
at 8
at this point.
I remember I came on air and I said, listen, it's not going lower than 8 because it's ridiculous. And I did that, my ridiculous stocks. Fortunately, stocks don't. They stop at 0. They don't go like -5. So you like buy Carvana. And he never forgot it. And his earnest nature. And I don't know if you ever bought a car with Carvana. I bought one. And when I got back, my wife said, I don't really like the color.
I
said, all right, I'll return it.
It was a darling of the pandemic, of course, given used car prices flew up so much at that point. But then it dropped so precipitously, but that's an incredible. I mean, that's I think one of the single best performing stocks, obviously,
yeah,
the last
I think
year.
That, did Pippa
when you look
have
at
that?
The 760 plus Pippa, percent.
You know, we had a contest internally about who had the best stock, and I think that Carvana won.
Did it?
Yeah.
So important to remember that.
What, that she won?
No, that sometimes words of bankruptcy are greatly exaggerated
yes.
when you hear them.
Yes, and people have sent a lot of invitations to Carvana's funeral and they
that,
will return.
The guys at Apollo usually know what they're doing. Not always, you know, everybody gets one wrong, but when they came in there with that.
No, they do
that was probably
make a lot of right moves. You followed
moment.
Them better than anyone. I don't really understand their model as much as I should.
Really? Well, they own a large insurer, and that kind of drives a lot of what's going on at Apollo.
Anyone who owns an insurer is in luck.
I mean, Apollo shares are up almost 20% this year, talking about the alternative asset manager, obviously, fueled by a large insurance company.
Well, didn't I see Jonathan Gray on the cover of, like...
That's Blackstone. You know, interestingly, I know Blackstone, the largest of the alternative asset managers, the stock is actually down about 4% this year, bucking the overall trend, because when I look, Apollo's up 19%, KKR is up 16%, I got the Blue Owl up 20%, Ares up 11%.
Hold it just a second. Stop.
Yeah.
Carl, did you read the obituary of the owl?
Of whom?
The owl in the New York Times.
Oh, Flacco. Yes,
Flacco.
Of course.
That was so sad.
I mean, it was written, the news story was like an obituary where he lived. He lived in the West Side. He liked the West Side in the end.
Yes.
He looked at it. He went down. You know, the East Side was not for him. He was obviously leading an intellectual owl. They're wise to begin with.
Well, we're talking about an owl that escaped from the Central Park Zoo, who lived alone on his own.
Made the city his own.
For a year.
Yeah.
Sadly,
you know,
You never know. They're going to do an autopsy. I think it's we're waiting for the results, perhaps
the
still. But it's possible rat poisoning also affects them over time.
I want everyone to read both the think piece about him and the obituary about him, because he represented the free spirit that we all would like to have. They tried to get him back in to be caged, but he would have none of that because he wanted his life to be free.
Yes.
And that was an amazing piece. I liked him and I didn't know him.
I'm trying to find a way back to markets from that, but that's a tough one.
Well, I think I saw Flacco one day up in a tree. It was very nice.
Well, you could work Flacco as a substitute quarterback who didn't do
Joe
that
Flacco.
Well, and then work
to
Cleveland and then go to Eaton. I don't know what to
Flacco
do here.
He had a great time with
who
the
Who had a
Browns.
Better year, Flacco or Flacco?
Well, sadly, I think Joe Flacco, because
he's still
it's hard,
wonder,
it is hard to get
if
back.
You
I'm
told
sorry.
Flacco.
I'm sorry. I had
Flacco,
my sister
you have
told
to stay in captivity or you get 1 year out. What do you think Flacco would have gone for?
Anytime, 1 year out. Freedom's very hard to lose.
So, there you go.
Free agency.
Yeah.
Jim, we got a bunch of initiations on Amer Sports. A bunch of buys.
Eight buy
and
two a hold, and yet everyone knew it wasn't any good. I mean, it's kind of amazing. The street rallies to IPOs. That one didn't make a lot of money off the IPO, so maybe it's reasonably priced. You know? It was a winner, David.
I know Reddit filed, but given particularly in one area, but given the overall
zeitgeist,
why aren't we seeing a flood? I mean, if people want to say that this is reminiscent of the internet
right, but
era,
it's
which
not.
I don't feel like it is in many ways, because we're talking about huge companies that have, frankly, make more money than any companies we've ever seen, trading at multiples that are really not that unreasonable, many would say. That said, why aren't we seeing more IPOs?
I don't look at me. I don't know. I've been waiting for the big biotech flood of IPOs. That's not happened. I've been waiting for a lot of phony companies that we have to praise because that the street will praise. Those haven't happened. Like the SPAC revolution, what a bogus thing that was. That hasn't happened.
No,
so it, what?
You've got all these private companies that have been waiting for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, here it is. All you got to do is say you're in it.
Other than Reddit, which, by the way, has been a company for, 20 years?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, and I just can't wait to get my hands on that. Whoa. Hey, Robinhood is all the way up to 14, so you do have a lot of things that are smelling like roses, but we just don't have... I mean, how about some food chain that has, 22 stores? Where are those things?
I don't know.
Look at Robinhood, will you?
Okay. You're right about Hood, though. That would
Men
take you back
tights.
To 22.
I know. Just incredible that I think we have to talk to Tomo Bravo. Don't they have something they could sell? Jonathan Gray, can you get him to sell something to Do you know that the lower price homes are still being bought largely by these kinds of firms that's driving
that,
us out?
It's more the stuff that, you know, the Coatues, the Tigers, the D1s own. We'd love to see stuff come public and or SoftBank. I'm sure they've got some stuff that they'd like to.
Well, okay, we'll call them during the break.
By the way, the ARM thing has gone pretty darn well for SoftBank. So you I see ARM shares are up again today.
You haven't talked
to Rosenblatt goes to 180 ARM, yes.
Yes, and yeah, I know, and that's Rene Haas is brilliant, and that's a very positive piece.
Yeah.
David, you haven't talked about the notion of the short sellers.
Look at ARM today up another 9%.
There's no float yet, it moves. But how are the short sellers doing in their day-to-day lives in China? What's that like?
I don't know, Jim.
Well, you've been to China. I mean, did they just like
does
the door knock
in
the middle of the night?
Oh, here we go again with this.
What?
With the whole
antagonizing the PRC?
What is it with you? What part of your brain needs to always go to the fact that they don't like short sellers in China?
My medulla oblongata. Also, right here, my vagus nerve has just got nothing but bad things to say about China.
Well, I can see it pulsating. Right
no, the vagus nerve. I got it. I'll put an ice bag on it after.
Jim, Amazon going into the Dow. Evercore today goes to 220. Although we have talked a lot about Bezos selling, Zuck selling, Diamond selling. He'll be asked about that today.
You know, look, I think all these people, they have a right to sell. I mean, look, they've really had a big run. David, you have not yet said that it's atavistic and doesn't matter, the Dow. Usually, at this point, have said something negative about the Dow.
I appreciate you're doing that for me, and it is. It's an absurd.
How was that put in terms of the Dow?
Average. And then they put in Amazon.
How did Walgreens do in the Dow? Was that a goodbye? Was that a...
No, that wasn't. But usually, how do you usually want to play the Dow? When they come out, you want to buy them. When they go in, do you
not?
Yeah,
the dogs of the Dow. Look, I think Tim Wentworth is doing a great job with Walgreens, but it's good. It's a big turnaround. When you get those retail turnarounds, it's very hard. Rite Aid was doing a multi-year turnaround. That didn't end as well as it should have.
It's going to be interesting because we are going to get Lowe's, TJX, you mentioned Best Buy.
Lowe's is going to be, I think, very good, but I want to caution people. Home Depot is up very big after what was supposed to be a bad call. But Home Depot said the do-it-yourself is doing as well as the professional. And that may even mean the professional's not doing that well. Or DIY is going to be great, which would be Marvin Ellison's sweet spot. I happen to love to go to both of them, but Builders First Source is the winner because that is just total wholesale. Builders First Source is rivaling NVIDIA as being one of the great stocks for the Euro, which is really incredible. Look at that thing. And boy, they are humble.
Matt Boss does upgrade Gap.
Gap is having an unbelievable year. And if you read the conference call, you can't believe how well they're doing and how well Old Navy's doing. Big comeback. They're still not happy with Banana Republic, which a lot of people think is a nickname for our country.
Really?
Yes.
Now?
Literally got the best economy in the world.
It's the best of the worst.
What are you thinking when you say that?
I'm $36 trillion in debt. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, that part.
Yeah, I think that matters.
We need our interest payments, last I heard. We're still capable of doing that.
We need inflation to do it.
We still have pretty good credit.
I just wanted to be like one of those guys who says that. I've always wanted to be responsible.
Is it the U.S. Congress that you're referring to?
I just wanted to be responsible. So now people say, you know, Cramer, we think that he's kind of a joker, but he did talk about the 36 trillion.
Got it on the record.
Yes, so I think maybe he's more of a, the part of the intelligentsia.
So that's reflective of being a Banana Republic, having 36 trillion in debt.
Trillion.
I just want to understand where that came from.
Well, because I want to sound smart like a David Malpass this week. I want to sound smart. What's the matter with sounding smart?
There are a couple actual dovish geopolitical headlines. One is the possibility of a ceasefire, or at least a hostage release. Jake Sullivan says it might happen in the coming days. Then there's this idea floated by Ukraine over the weekend of a peace summit in which Russia would be invited on Kyiv's terms.
31,000 dead, the army there. And we don't know what the death of the Russians. I mean,
the Russians have lost. It's just unfathomable. Hundreds of thousands.
Unfathomable. But I don't think that the history of Russia is to do anything for Mother Russia, including die for it. Not that we don't have this. I'm just saying.
We don't talk about geopolitics that often.
They put people in.
Doesn't seem to be impacting the markets in a significant way. We talk about the Red Sea, obviously, and shipping rates have gone up, and that could creep into certain costs of certain goods. But beyond that, we really, it's not.
And it's 13% of the world's calories, and it didn't matter. The grain complex is doing quite poorly.
Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe, which is what it was.
The cutoff of buying their oil didn't matter one bit because of China and India. The sanctions have been an abject failure, but
no one talks
about that. I know. Did.
Who knew there were more sanctions to even be put on after Navalny died? I'm like, what's the why? What's the point? What do we?
Well, that's because instead of giving them missiles, David, or F-35s, you announce more bogus sanctions. No, Jim, those sanctions are really good.
No, it's clear that sanctions are not effective in stopping. Well,
no, but they don't admit that. They should come out and say that. But again, that's kind of what we're talking about.
They do have $300 billion that we could seize.
No, if they get the missiles, if they got what they needed, then at least they could possibly reclaim some of the land. But again, we're not the Military History Channel. But we're also not the owl match. I did this National Geographic for a while. And where did that get us? With the blue owl. Who's not a blue owl.
No idea what you're talking about.
No, I'm saying that I'm saying I diverted us to National Geographic. I talk about the owl obituary we can go Ukraine.
Like,
I mean, we could go anywhere you want.
Yeah, we can, and I like to. I'm happy to.
But really?
Sure.
Then will you go Paramount?
No, I will not. There are
That's
certain
the
places
one thing
I
you will not
go.
Discuss.
Do you think he'll go over Zaslav when he was away? You had the mornings off. Is that what it was?
I was working Thursday and Friday. I just wasn't on television.
Well, I just still feel that he hasn't given us the full story of who he met and who ran
the
conference.
We'll get debriefed during the break.
It'll be a private debrief. Okay?
Really?
Sure.
Like Jake Sullivan?
Sure. Exactly like that. We'll go to the secure room here.
Two-part questions and everything?
Yeah, two-part questions.
There's like a vault like 20 meters below here we can go down.
Okay. I want to start my question by saying congratulations, David, on a good quarter.
Thank you.
As we go to break, S&P just barely red here, shy of 5,100. Watch bonds. A lot of Fed speak, but it really doesn't start until Wednesday. Of course, the 10-poll data point of the week will be a PCE deflator on Thursday as well. Be right back. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
You know, Carl, the worst performer in the NASDAQ 100 continues to get no respect, and that's Moderna. It's funny, HSBC downgrades it to a sell. And remember, they had the vaccine, and there was a lot of talk about being personalized vaccines for cancer. And this HSBC is a little skeptical about that, so they're making it so that you feel that there may not be a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. Previous target was 75, though, and target price now 86. So they have a sell, but they did raise the target price. But I think this is one of those companies that really had a great heyday, like a Zoom, okay, and just hasn't come back. And I think people keep thinking, well, it's got so much value, but the street hates it.
Zoom, another name that reports this week. And I was just thinking about.
And that's one that we keep waiting for them to do beyond. And everyone likes them as people. Okay, I mean, they are remarkable. And again, I use Zoom during COVID. Zoom was the way you communicated.
It was, but thankfully, that's no longer the.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right, David.
Now it's all about Live Nation.
As we count down to the 4-year, very close to the 4-year anniversary of when we all.
Yep.
All of us exited for
that. Yeah, wait to see Jones Beach, what they've done with Live Nation.
Apparently Live Nation?
Yeah, they've apparently done great
things. Oh, the theater there.
Yeah.
You go.
I've been to Jones Beach. I saw Barry White there right before he died. Wow. That was an amazing concert.
That would be amazing.
If you're a Barry White guy. I was total Barry White. It was fabulous.
Jim, what's on tonight?
Okay, I've got Elanco, which is pet, and it looks like a clear miss this morning, ELAN. And then Huntington Bank, which is a commercial real estate. Again, get a little sense on Steve Steinhauer about whether Barry Sternlicht is the big black hole everyone's so worried about is commercial real estate.
He's not alone. Yeah. Scott Reckler said some pretty somewhat alarming things.
Really?
But the question is,
we'll see.
Is there equity out there to somehow re-equitize some of the properties that can be saved?
That is exactly right. And that was what I heard from Exelon last week, which is Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore, that don't panic over this. There's not as many as you think that are hurt, but I think it's something to watch.
Without a doubt.
Arm Holdings up 12. I mean, this is just... It's not a bubble. It's not.
You keep telling yourself
it's just
that.
Regular go up.
It's regular go up.
Regular
right,
go
that's,
up.
That's the kind of analysis
number
we care
up.
To hear.
Number up. A very regular. Good book, by the way, about Sam Bankman-Fried.
Oh, very good.
Number up.
We'll see you tonight. Mad Money,
okay,
6 p.m. Eastern
Welcome
time.
Welcome back, David. I know you had the mornings off.
to Jim's point, S&P 5090. When we come back, some new home sales. Don't go away.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.